a bit. His name is Ptah Ka Ba. He is king when the Djel Empire extends from the Circle Sea to the Rim Ocean, when almost half the continent pays tribute to us. Tepic realized what it was about the man's speech that was strange. Dios would bend any sentence to breaking point if it meant avoiding a past tense. He pointed to another fresco. "And her?" he said. "She is Queen Khat Leon Ra Ptah," said Dios. "She wins the kingdom of Hawandaland by stealth. This is the time of the Second Empire." "But she is dead," said Tepic. "I understand so," said the High Priest, after the slightest of pauses. Yes, the past tense definitely bothered Dios. "I have learned 7 languages," said Tepic, secure in the knowledge that the actual marks he had achieved in 3 of them would remain concealed in the ledgers of the guild. "Indeed, sire." "Oh, yes. Morporkian, Vangelmesht, Ifib, Laotian, and several others," said Tepic. "Ah." Dios nodded, smiled, and continued to proceed down the corridor, limping slightly but still measuring his pace like the ticking of centuries. "The Barbarian Lands." Tepic looked at his father. The embalmers had done a good job. They were waiting for him to tell them so. Part of him, which still lived in Ankh Morpork, said, "This is a dead body, wrapped up in bandages. Surely they can't think that this will help him get better. In Ankh, you die, and they bury you or burn you or throw you to the ravens. Here, it just means you slow down a bit and get given all the best food. It's ridiculous. How can you run a kingdom like this? They seem to think that being dead is like being deaf. You just have to speak up a bit." But a second, older voice said, "We've run a kingdom like this for 7,000 years. The humblest melon farmer has a lineage that makes kings elsewhere look like mayflies. We used to own the continent before we sold it again to pay for pyramids. We don't even think about other countries less than 3,000 years old. It all seems to work." "Hello, father," he said. The shade of Tepic Kaimon the 27th, which had been watching him closely, hurried across the room. "You're looking well," he said. "Good to see you. Look, this is urgent. Please pay attention. It's about death."
"He says he is pleased to see you," said Dios.
"You can hear him," said Tepic. "I didn't hear anything."
"The dead naturally speak through the priests," said the priest. "That is the custom, sire."
"But he can hear me, can he?"
"Of course."
"I've been thinking about this whole pyramid business, and look, I'm not certain about it."
Tepic leaned closer.
"Auntie sends her love," he said loudly.
He thought about this.
"That's my aunt, not yours."
"I hope," he added.
I say, can you hear me?"
"He bids you greetings from the world beyond the veil," said Dios.
"Well, yes, I suppose I do, but look, I don't want you to go to a lot of trouble and build a..."
"We are going to build you a marvellous pyramid, father. You'll really like it there. There'll be people to look after you and everything." Tepic glanced at Dios for reassurance.
"He'll like that, won't he?" "I don't want one!" screamed the king. "There's a whole interesting eternity I haven't seen yet. I forbid you to put me in a pyramid!"
"He says that is very proper, and you are a dutiful son," said Dios.
"Can you see me? How many fingers am I holding up? Think it's fun, do you, spending the rest of your death under 1 million tons of rock watching yourself crumble to bits? Is that your idea of a good epoch?"
"It's rather drafty in here, sire," said Dios. "Perhaps we should get on."
"Anyway, you can't possibly afford it."
"And we'll put your favourite frescoes and statues in with you. You'll like that, won't you?" said Tepic desperately. "All your bits and pieces around you?"
He will like it, won't he?
He asked Dios as they walked back to the throne room. Only, I don't know, I somehow got a feeling...